Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators out here in Colorado, but also a pastor and a father of five. And folks, I've got a vision for future generations for my family, and I've had a vision since the inception of my family in 1990. And back in 1994, 15 years ago, I was the pro-life candidate for governor here in Colorado in the November elections. I ran because James Dobson from Focus on the Family had committed to not voting for anybody that would sentence an innocent baby to death. And unfortunately, the two major candidates were pro-abortion. I remember I ran against a fellow named Bruce Benson. As of last year, the fellow is now president of Colorado University, was pro-abortion, of course, and wanted government to pay for abortions. A good Republican. A good Republican. So I didn't want to vote for Bruce Benson. And Roy Romer, the Democrat who was governor at the time, was also rapidly pro-abortion. He did not respect the value of life. And so I ran for governor. I was 30 years old at the time. And I debated Roy Romer down at Colorado College as part of that election. And in the end, well, I lost. Roy Romer picked up 55% of the vote. Bruce Benson, 38% of the vote. And I... 4%. So I lost. But folks, I have pictures of my family campaigning for the pro-life cause across Colorado back in 1994. Daniel was 3 years old at the time. Emily was a year old. And there we were, standing in the gap for the pro-life cause. And folks, I think any kind of an effort for the pro-life cause, anytime anybody can stand up and stand on the principles of God's word, they're going to make an impact of some sort. And I think Christians ought to be involved. In fact, the only thing that would prevent countries from sinking into infanticide, sati, widow burning, euthanasia, cannibalism, homosexuality, horrible slave states and bloody government purges against innocent citizens. The only thing that's going to avoid things like that happening is Christians involved in government. And that's because true Christians can actually determine between good and evil, right and wrong, by means of an objective standard, as in the law of a transcendent God. Now, you know, postmodern relativists are incapable of making any determination between what is right and what is wrong. I mean, they admit to that. There is no absolute standard. That's the way the pagans think. But fortunately, there are a few true Christians out there that will actually crack the word of a transcendent God and appeal to some absolute standard of right and wrong. Now, if you can get 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of these people running for office in any given state, that's a good thing. You're going to get a little salt and light preserving that society from euthanasia and infanticide, homosexuality and widow burning and tyrannical states. So I say, let's bring them in. Let's bring in Christians. Stand up for the principles of God's word. Now, we're not saying that the state or involvement in government is the primary role for Christians. Preaching the word of God in hundreds of thousands of venues and radio stations, on soapboxes here and there, standing up in family worship and around the living room or in school cafeterias or what have you. You know, any kind of preaching the word of God is very, very important, I believe, primary for the involvement of Christians as salt and light in society around them. So we're not socialists here. We don't think government can solve all problems like most Americans think, especially when you have evil working in the hearts of people who want to kill their kids and fornicate with anything that moves, okay? So we can't solve that problem. You've got a heart problem out there, and government isn't going to solve that heart problem of people who want to do evil things all the time. Nevertheless, politics is one small aspect of Christian involvement in society, and I encourage families to do so. Now, there are still a few people in this country left who are fighting for the right to life. There are some families out there that are standing up, standing in the gap, and involved in the battle for life in this country. And I'm going to speak with one of those in just a moment. Cal Zastro will be with me in a moment. Stay with me.
Generations of Knowing Him is the theme for the 25th Annual Christian Family Conference coming to the Denver Merchandise Mart June 18th through the 20th. Join hundreds of Christian families from across Colorado and attend a variety of challenging and encouraging seminars on 70 topics. Keynote speakers include Bill Jack, Kevin Swanson, and Little Bear Wheeler. Join us on Thursday, June 18th for a special all-day Biblical Family Seminar featuring popular speakers James and Stacy McDonald. Visit the exhibit hall with curriculum from over 200 vendors, including youth entrepreneurs. It all happens at the 25th Annual Christian Family Conference at the Denver Merchandise Mart, June 18 to 20, presented by Christian Home Educators of Colorado. Register today. Hurry and save on pre-conference pricing. For more information and to register, go online to check.org. That's check.org.
Welcome back to the Generations Broadcast, friends. This is Kevin Swanson with you. With a generational vision, I want to pass on a vision to my children. I want a perspective of life, a mission for my family that's going to continue from generation to generation. And so does Cal Zastro, who's with me right now on the broadcast. Cal is with Operation Save America, also Personhood USA. He's got four children. He's got a vision for his family. Welcome to the program. Cal.
Thanks for inviting me, Kevin. Hallelujah.
Cal, you know, we are living in interesting times, really interesting times. You've got a pro-infanticide president of the United States. We're paying for forced abortions in China right now with our tax money. It's this brave new world out there, and yet we've got a vision. We've got a mission for our own families, and I know you're a man on a mission as well. What do you tell your children about this mission, about what you're doing in the world here?
I tell them that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. We just got to be the church and go knock some gates down. Come on.
That's right. That's right. And we got to be salt and light in this world. And Jesus expects us to take some ground for him.
Amen.
Yeah, and that's what you're doing with Personhood USA. You know, you got to tell your children that there's a battle going on between good and evil. And there are people out there that are really breaking the laws of God. They murder their children in salt baths and suction aspirating machines. And, you know, this is not a good world, but we got a mission out there. And part of that is to stand up for the principle of life.
Amen.
And I know that's what Personhood Amendment, the Personhood Amendments are all about, which we brought to Colorado last year. And, oh, by the way, you know, as I ran for governor of Colorado back in 1994. A little bit disappointing that I only got 4% of the vote, but you guys brought Personhood Amendment here last year and walked away with 27% of the vote. So, see, I'm not discouraged anymore. I see you guys got a 7 times improvement on what I did back in 1994. So I'm in a good mood on this.
Amen. Praise God. The pro-life tide is rising.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, we didn't win this one, but we're going to win more.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, where else are we working here?
Well, we've currently got, my family and I are primarily working in Mississippi. We're doing a Personhood Amendment ballot access citizens initiative petition drive down there.
Okay.
We have it until October, and that's a similar deal to Colorado, except that Mississippi, the culture is much, much more pro-life than Colorado. But Colorado was fantastic because people down in Mississippi said, not flatteringly, but yet flatteringly, they said, you know what, if them tree-hugging, dope-smoking, mountain-hugging perverts up there in Colorado, they can try to end abortion, what's the matter with us? So it worked. It worked, didn't it?
It worked, yeah, it worked. Yeah, we got a difficult state here. It is pretty liberal and a lot of libertarianism here, which means they're going to be, you know, violating God's law quite a bit in this state.
Yeah.
And that makes the state quite a difficult state to operate in. I think it's a battleground state because you do have some evangelical ministries here, but we're losing right now to the liberals. How does that make, you know, what's your perspective when you see that the liberals have been taking over and now certainly on a federal level, they've got control?
Well, they have control of the civil government. They don't have control of prayer. They don't have control of God's word.
Yeah.
They don't have control of revival. They don't have control of the promises of God. And they don't have control of the Church of Jesus Christ. And nothing can stop the Church of Jesus Christ.
And
when the last abortion clinic closes in America, there will be some kid there with the last name of Zastrow raising a Christian flag, singing "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name."
Yeah, yeah. And really, when it comes down to it, you know, when the odds are against us, that's when really God shows up and does some tremendous things. So, you know, we see that throughout history. He likes to peel the group down to about 300, and then he takes on the Midianites. You know, that was
that's
the story
right.
of Gideon. And that's just the way God likes it. At some point, you know, he gets the odds down to where he likes it, and then he goes for it.
Amen.
So the point is, don't ever be discouraged.
That's right. Plus, yeah. Mississippi, we've got a petition drive for a personhood amendment going on in Oregon.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep, that's okay. Going on right now. This spring, as an inspiration from last year's Colorado effort, for the first time in U.S. history, a state legislative body, the North Dakota State House, voted 51-41 and passed their personhood bill.
Yeah.
It was defeated in the Senate. And then in Montana, we introduced a personhood amendment to the state constitution. That passed the state Senate. But it needed a supermajority vote in the state house. And Montana is a pro-abortion state also.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we lost there 51-47. Well,
okay.
We won 51-47, but we needed a supermajority.
Right.
So we're going to start a petition drive there. We've got six other states with personhood amendments going in their state legislatures that are introduced right now. And we're working on two more for this year yet. And two more petition drives for states this year. Taking off like a rocket, and we're having fun.
Summarize the statement, Cal, real briefly, the personhood amendment statement.
A personhood amendment is a state constitute. Forget the feds. They're whacked.
Yeah.
They're temporarily controlled by evil people. But in our states, we're trying to amend our state constitutions to define the word person as a human being at fertilization or their biological beginning.
Okay. Okay, which is a pretty plain statement. I mean, you got to define a person. You know,
yep.
You got to define a person, and you know, the best way to define it is a person's a person, no matter how small.
Amen. Go,
Dr. Seuss actually did something
fan
right there.
Fan club from last year.
Yeah. Well, you know, now let's get this back to your family. This is part of your family's project. You have a missionary. Have you brought your family together and said, "This is what the Zastrow family is all about. This is what we do."
Amen. Well, even before we had children, my wife and I are involved in pro-life street ministry and activism.
Right.
And then God blessed us with children, five of them. One's in heaven, but we've got four, and we just travel the country doing pro-life street ministry, and we show up to do volunteer personhood amendments in states where they want to get down to the root of the matter.
Yeah.
So we've been traveling and ministering for years now, and it's just exciting. We live by faith and stay on people's floors and live out of a minivan and have a lot of fun.
Yeah. And now you also travel the world because you were just in China with your 15-year-old daughter.
Right. I just returned last week from my 12th Bible smuggling trip to China.
Mm-hmm.
We led a team. And this time my 15-year-old daughter was able to go with me, and we had a blast. We got in thousands of Chinese study Bibles. We got those to the Chinese underground churches. And then we went to some unevangelized cities and towns in West China, in Gansu and Qinghai provinces, and we distributed thousands of tracts covertly on people's doors throughout the middle of the night.
Boy, your family is just on the front lines. I mean, this is who you are. You go out there and you do the work, and you're willing to go 6 feet from the gates of hell to evangelize and get the word of God out to folks out there.
Amen. Let's knock the gates down and spread the kingdom. Hallelujah. Homeschoolers are taking over.
Now, what are your children picking up from this? What was your 15-year-old daughter's impression of going to China and getting involved in kingdom work out there?
Well, after I trained her and some other people on how to do night track distribution without getting caught or arrested, we got back to the hotel, and she said, "Dad, I'm addicted to this. It's great." You know, some people have to go to a sports game or something like that to get an adrenaline rush. Come pass out tracks in China. You'll have all the adventure and adrenaline you'll need.
Yeah, and you're actually doing it for a good cause, too.
Amen. Over 50 million tracks have been distributed on people's homes in China, and many thousands of new churches have been planted in unreached areas because of it. It's exciting to be a part of what God's doing in our time, in our lives, in our generation.
You know, it's so important, I think, to give our children a vision for the kingdom of God that extends beyond our immediate material comforts and these sorts of things. Isn't that what we live in? We live in this country where it's all about me. It's all about my fulfillment. It's about material well-being. And yet, you know, we got to get it across to our children. It's way more than that.
Amen.
The purpose that God has for us here is to give up our lives for Jesus. Because remember, He gave His life for us.
Amen.
And I think one of the missionaries, C.T. Studd, says, if Jesus Christ be the Son of God and He gave up His life for me, there is nothing that I cannot give up for Him.
That's right. Hallelujah. You know, when our kids see us take up the cross and they see God show up and bless that and they see us have joy in the Holy Spirit as we're carrying our cross, they catch it. They get it. It's real attractive to them.
Yeah, and in a day where 80% of Christian kids are walking away from faith, somehow some parents are going to have to get some kind of a vision, some kind of a mission, and start incorporating that mission into the way that they live such that their kids catch the vision that it's all about the kingdom of God.
Well, the best way I've found to keep your kids on your team is not just play defense and saying, don't do this, don't do that. It's get out there and be offensive for the kingdom of God. Get out there and spread the gospel. Go out and witness to people.
Exactly.
Church isn't something you go to. It's something you are in your home, and you have people over, and you go out and minister on the streets and evangelize.
Yeah. Okay, Cal, now we got to talk to our children about the future from time to time. And, you know, here, let's talk about the future. There's a future scenario out there that hits me, and that is that, you know, Social Security is not going to cover 50 million baby boomers in the year 2020. Suppose you get a president elected who's an ardent socialist, all right, and he's already voted against the born-again bill in, say, the Illinois legislature, for example. He comes up with a new Social Security program that involves a $20 shot, euthanasia, okay? A really low-budget Social Security program called euthanasia. Now, if that happens, okay, in the year 2020, the year 2028, or what have you, what will your children be doing then?
My children will be going and rescuing those people.
That's right.
They will be attempting to educate them. They will be breaking syringes and needles in half.
Yep.
And then they'll know all the great hymns of the church to sing when they get arrested and imprisoned for being Christians.
Because
Hallelujah.
You've taught them those hymns. Because you've been singing those hymns for the last 20 years.
Come on.
You know, and here's the point, Cal. Here's the point I'm trying to make. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter when you live. You might have lived in 285 AD Rome when the Democrats and Republicans were tossing Christians into the Colosseums, okay? Back in 285 AD. You still got to live the Christian life. You still got to rescue the perishing.
Amen.
It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter when you live. You got to be a Christian. And Jesus wants you out there involved in His project.
Hallelujah.
So this is, I think, the message we teach our children. And here's the other thing, Cal. Nobody gets to fear the future.
That's right.
Right? Right? Nobody's going to be afraid of what's going to happen. I mean, boy, if there's one lesson you're teaching your children, including your 15-year-old daughter, taking her into one of the darkest, most tyrannical countries on the face of the earth, and doing the kind of work that you did out there, you're teaching her, hey, there's nothing to fear here.
That's right. If we're prepared for suffering, there's nothing to fear. If we're prepared to carry the cross, there's nothing to fear.
Did you catch any fear in your daughter at all?
No, not too much. Mm-hmm. No, not really. It was kind of scary walking around dark streets at night in China, mm-hmm. Passing out tracts. It was a little hairy when in one city the police came and put us under house arrest and didn't want us walking around at night. That was a concern, but you know what? We had the joy of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and God was with us. And if we fear God, we don't need to fear man or anything He can do to us.
How did you deal with that fear? I mean, did you guys gather around and pray? Were you singing?
Prayer and praise. Praise defeats the enemy.
Yeah.
Just the praises of God, worshiping God, lifting Him up, exalting Him, destroys all the works of the devil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's your vision for your children as they grow up and they're out of the house? What do you want for them?
Let's see. I got four kids, so they can disciple four continents and take them over for Jesus. My grandkids will have to do the rest.
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah.
There you go. There you go. Wow.
That's the vision.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, let's talk about how folks can get involved in some of these projects. You know, let's say there's some families out there who say, you know, I'm kind of tired of raising my children for this convenient life of materialism. I want them finding out something more important and getting involved in a more important mission in life. How would you suggest that they get involved?
I would encourage them to open their Bibles and read it, where it says, rescue the weak and needy, deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Then I'd invite them to go and open their yellow pages to the first page where it says abortion, and read where their closest child butcher shop is.
Mm-hmm.
Take their kids out there, especially kids in strollers. Kids in strollers are better than any old signs in front of an abortion clinic.
Yeah.
Go to the sidewalks or go to the right-of-way in front of the streets, in front of these death pits with your kids. Open your Bible and start singing and start praying. And then when moms come to murder their children, then you offer help to them. You tell them about the law and love of God. You say, do you need some help? Can we talk to you? Can we give you some help? Go out to the front lines with your kids. Show them how to love people. Show them how to reach out to people. I'd say that's a great place to start.
Yeah. Cal, you think Jesus would have done that?
He did. He even went up to Samaria.
Yeah.
He went to the cross.
He went to where sinners were. In fact, wasn't he accused of eating with wine bibbers and sinners, as I recall?
Yeah.
And he people had a beef with him because every time he turned around, Jesus was hanging out with sinners again. Good, bringing the word of God to them.
Right. It wasn't just fun, let's enjoy the movie. It was, hey, I'm your friend, and I'm going to tell you some great things about the kingdom of God. Let's go.
Yeah.
Hey, why don't you come and leave your stuff behind and come and follow me, and let's go feed the poor and preach the gospel and rescue people. Why don't you come follow me and do that? That's what he called people to do.
And what better place to go than somewhere where people are in the process of murdering their own children?
Yep.
That would be a good place to start.
That's a great place.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a great place.
Yeah.
God shows up when we preach the gospel, and public sin demands public confrontation.
Yeah.
You don't have to be mean or ugly to people, but just go out there and tell them about the love of Jesus.
Right.
Tell them about there's better ways to go, that you'll help them.
Right.
See what God does. God will show up and bless the preaching of his word.
You know, I'll never forget, Cal, a statement made by some homosexuals that were protesting outside of Focus on the Families would have been about 4 to 5 years ago. And that's just about 30 minutes south of where we broadcast. This homosexual leader stood up and said, these people in Focus on the Family think that there is something wrong with us that needs to be fixed. And I thought to myself, yes! Yes! That's it! That's the gospel of Jesus Christ!
That's it!
You know, I couldn't think of a better way to say it. This homosexual has got it.
Yeah.
Well, and it doesn't matter if you're a homosexual, if you're a fornicator, if you're a liar, or somebody out there killing your kids this morning at some abortion clinic. There's something wrong with you that needs to be fixed.
That's right.
And I know somebody who can fix you.
That's it.
That's the gospel, isn't it, Cal?
Amen.
And,
you know, we point these people. We say, you know what? Jesus can set you free from that. You don't have to live in bondage to that. You don't have to live like that. You can be whole. You can be forgiven. You can be set free. Jesus can set you free from that.
Cal, it's a beautiful message, and you're out there on the front lines with your family, and you're conveying this vision to the next generation. There's a lot of pieces coming together here in your ministry, and I appreciate what you shared. I appreciate your spirit today on our broadcast, and I just want folks to get in contact with some of the things that you're doing. Let me point them to your websites. PersonhoodUSA.com is the Personhood Amendment website out there, accessible to anybody who wants to check it out. PersonhoodUSA.com, also OSA.org. That's Operation Save America, OSA.org, if you'd like to get in contact with these ministries. Again, Cal Zastro, thank you for joining us on Generations. We appreciate you, man.
Revival, thanks for inviting me.
Amen. And folks, I think what we're encouraging for families today on this broadcast is that you get a vision for your life, a mission for your family, something beyond making a pile of money in life and to die with the most toys. That's not what life is all about, and that's not what we want to convey to our children. So my encouragement to you is to get a family vision together go out and do something as a family, something worthwhile, a family mission trip, for example, Bible smuggling, pro-life ventures, whatever it happens to be, run for office, help somebody get elected, some godly man who will be the salt and light that we need to be in the Capitol. Get involved as a family. I hope you've got a little bit of a vision from today's broadcast on this Generations program. You can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com, and you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. Join us again next time, won't you, as we lay down a vision for the next generation.
Imagine a summer camp for the whole family. A camp with some great messages that will encourage your family to live and love together the way God has laid out in His Word. Imagine a 5-day camp with some of the best nationally known speakers on the family. A 5-day camp priced from $155. That's $155 for the whole family. We have obtained the use of one of the largest campgrounds in the West for this camp. Your family will hear inspiring messages on relationships and loving the family from some of the familiar voices carried on the Generations Radio broadcast. And there will be plenty of time for relaxing fellowship, hiking, volleyball, softball, high ropes course, paintball, miniature golf, horseshoes, shuffleboard, frisbee golf, tennis, ping pong, paddle boats, and canoeing. We have priced this camp so it will be affordable to the largest families with the lowest income in a tough economy. To register or just check out a little more information on this camp, visit our website, renewingthefamily.com. That's renewingthefamily.com. This camp is sponsored by Reformation Church, a family-integrated church located between Colorado Springs and Denver in Castle Rock.
Hello, folks. This is Kevin Swanson. Part of my vision as a father is to leave an inheritance for my children and protect the resources God has given me. That's why when I invest in these economic times, I use Cornerstone Capital Investment. Cornerstone Capital Investment is a visionary company founded by Chad Roach, a homeschooled young man and one of the senior staff members of the Generations Ministry. Cornerstone Capital Investment has sold nearly $1 million of gold and silver bullion in the last 6 months alone, and they've served families from all over the United States and Canada. Visit them online at cornerstonecapitalinvestment.com or call Chad at 303-956-3455. That's 303-956-3455.